Lord Jesus give you his peace. We read in the Office of Readings for St. Casimir a beautiful beginning. It gets at the nature of his love, which is something that we're all called to. And the writer from A Contemporary Life has put this down. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Casimir burned with a sincere and unpretentious love for Almighty God that was almost unbelievable in its strength. So rich was his love, and so abundantly did it fill his heart, that it flowed out from his inner spirit toward his fellow men. And as a result, he was animated to give and give and give to the poor especially. He died in 1484. He is known by his fellow Poles as the peacemaker because of an incident with his father and his initial obedience, and then kind of moving back from what he was assigned to do. He was a third child of King Casimir IV and Elizabeth of Austria, and he was very pious as a child. He had a very pious tutor, John Lugos, and he himself was a prodigy of holiness, very, very penitential, very hard bed, meditation on the Passion of our Lord, living in the presence of God, and a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He would recite daily and was actually buried with a hymn. It's attributed to St. Bernard of Clairvaux, although you might have some different opinions about that, called Omni Die Dic Mariae, which is what we sing, daily, daily sing to Mary. It's the translation of that, at least in part. It's much longer. It's about 60 stanzas. Nevertheless, in about 1471, Casimir Jr. is about 15 years old, and his father sends him to the frontier with an army to basically usurp the power of the king of Hungary, Matthias Corvinus, who King Casimir had received correspondence about how his subjects were very disenchanted with Matthias's reign. So he, although objected, young Casimir went in obedience to his father with an army, although perhaps having the inklings at first that this is not the will of God. As he's going, his soldiers are deserting because of a lack of pay, and he also hears of Pope Sixtus IV, who has intervened with an embassy to his father, saying basically, don't do this. And so he's getting more and more confirmed that this definitely isn't the will of God. And so with paradoxical courage, he leaves with the army and returns home. He is imprisoned by his father, who is incensed at him withdrawing from this fight to a castle of Dobzhsky for about 3 months, and he's returning to prayer and study. He dies at the age of 23 from consumption. He has lung problems and so forth. But he was truly on fire with the love of God, and it was very much hallmarked by his love for the poor. And so it's a call for us today as well. Just looking something at the hymn that he would recite every day, He's Incorrupt, and this hymn was found by his head in his tomb. We have a couple of the strophes. Sing, my tongue, the Virgin's trophies. And as Franciscans of the Immaculate, we try to do that by knowing inside and out Our Lady's privileges, knowing the sacred scriptures on Our Lady, who for us her Maker bore, for the curse of old inflicted, peace and blessings to restore. Sing in songs of praise unending. And this is also a call that we should understand as we are called to be holy, as the Lord God is holy, in a very specific way, holiness, a seraphic holiness, as the seraphim sing unceasingly, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. So too, we, praise should be a hallmark of our prayer interiorly, not that we're called to be charismatics necessarily, but that we should praise. Because why? Well, when we praise, even if, you know, in this order, in the level of nature, we praise another's goodness. In charity, we enter into that other person's goodness, the perfection that God has given them. Specifically, it's a remedy against envy. If someone gets sad or spiteful about the good another person enjoys, the counsel is always praise God for it. We don't blaspheme God. He's the source of that perfection. He's the source of that good. On the other hand, directed towards God, when we praise God for his perfections, same dynamic, different order, same dynamic, we enter into the perfections of God. And so let's not neglect that. We have Our Lady as our model, my soul, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And so we also enter into that. Sing the world's majestic queen, weary not nor faint in telling all the gifts she gives to men. She's the mediatrix of all grace. All my senses, heart, affections strive to sound her glory forth. Spread abroad the sweet memorials, the Virgin's priceless worth. Giving away the miraculous medal. Letting other people have something very, very tangible about the concreteness and the presence of our Heavenly Mother. This is our joyful task. I mean, I don't think there's any higher calling in the Church at the moment in terms of living the gospel life in the spirit of St. Francis and dedicated completely to Our Lady, consecrated to her. Where the voice of music thrilling, where the tongues of eloquence that can utter hymns beseeming all her matchless excellence. Whatever we can say, whatever we can try to say to raise up a strain of praise is going to fall short. St. Pio, in reading some poetry or some songs about Our Lady more beautiful than the sun, you know, excelling the moon, he says, if that's all she was as beautiful as, I'd refuse to enter into heaven. He had experienced her firsthand and just the matchless, ineffable beauty, ineffable goodness. All our joys do flow from Mary. All then joy her praise to sing. Just so that we might feel a sense of shame in our culture of how we fall short in this. In Nicaragua, every December 8th, the whole country enters into this hymn of praise. Que causa tanta alegría, la Concepción de María. The Immaculate Conception, the whole country, that includes all the Protestants, all the Jehovah's Witnesses, everyone's proclaiming Our Lady's praises. And gathering at the parish church, fireworks, and then going out throughout the city, throughout the countryside, and entering into people's homes and being greeted with all kinds of treats and so forth and hospitality, and going around singing the praises of Mary. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. And how we fall short in our expressions of that, in our culture. And so in our own life, in our own community, we try to find ways that this mother, so beautiful, so good, who has saved us, that we find fitting ways to make her known, but fitting ways to really kind of set forth our love. That's a joyful, joyful task, but is an example coming to us from called La Gritaria in Nicaragua. Trembling, sing the Virgin Mother, Mother of our Lord and King, while we sing her awful glory. That awful is based on agos in the Greek, which is things dedicated to sacred purpose. Far above our fancy's reach, let our hearts be quick to offer love the heart alone can teach. So this is the hymn. So sometimes it's called St. Casimir's hymn. It wasn't written by him. It was about a few hundreds before him. But so we enter into that praise today. We ask St. Casimir, who was obviously a seraphic saint, to intercede for us, who are called to be the same.